Last week I mentioned about a lesson today that would have to do with the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, spiritualism, those kind of things, and I wanted to look at that as it's some information that we need to have some knowledge about. We live in a world today, of course, that so much gives itself to that kind of thing, to the stupendous, to the mysterious, to the spiritual side. You may know many of some places around here. You go by, there'll be a big placard outside of a house or a building somewhere advertising palm reading or to read tarot cards or first one thing and another. There may be fortune tellers that supposedly will look into a crystal ball. In the past, there have been television shows that examined and looked at these kind of things. But that is something we need to know about because the Bible does have something to say about those kind of things. It falls in what's called the realm of spiritualism. There are actual religions in the world, or religious movements at least, that are geared to spiritualism. Spiritualism is those things that deal with that on the other side. They think of that which is dead. They'll often want to communicate with the dead. The word spiritualism is defined by Webster's as a belief in the dead, or that the dead survive as spirits and communicate with the living, especially through a medium. A medium is simply an agent or one through whom a communication will take place. For example, electricity is a power. The wire along which electricity travels is a medium. It's simply a means of conveying that. And so spiritualism is the belief that the dead can communicate with the living can communicate with the dead, and that just cannot be done through any means, but rather through certain individuals who supposedly have psychic powers, and they have these abilities, or they've been trained in this art to be able to tell the future or whatever. Spiritualism deals and is geared to the obscure, to the mysterious, to the stupendous claims of some sort of supernatural powers. It is all governed by a framework of mysticism, superstition, and ignorance. Especially the latter word I call attention to, because ignorance, or that is simply not having the proper knowledge, if you have people in ignorance, then you can get them to do about anything you want to do. Because whatever you tell them, you frame in such a word that it sounds right, it's convincing, and they will believe that because they do not have any other knowledge to refute that idea. So spiritualists want to keep people in ignorance and unbelief and not really know what is underneath the whole thing. Well, you know, and I know, the Bible teaches that the dead cannot communicate with the living, nor can the living communicate with the dead. And we're going to be looking about some things in that here in just a moment. Spiritualism is not new. It's a sin that is not just given to our 21st century or the 20th century or even the 19th, but it goes all the way back. And you read of it even with the children of Israel and the commandments given them as they were to go in and possess the land of Canaan. That one of the things they were to do, we find in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, was that when they would conquer the land, they were to overturn and throw out those that dealt in this kind of art. Perhaps you grew up hearing stories about ghosts and goblins and witches. You would hear stories about headless horsemen. I remember hearing so many of those stories, especially about the house in which my grandmother lived, and an upstairs, and there was a rocking chair there, and it's been seen in time past as someone rocking that did not have a head in that rocking chair. I guess everybody's heard those kind of stories. Well, they appear on the surface to be fairy tales, those who are adults that teach them and tell these stories to children do so often because it's fun. We like to tease. We want to, you know, tell them something when we know better. But in the eyes of a little child, they're quite gullible. And they're here is mama or daddy, here's aunt or uncle, here's a cousin, here's grandma, grandpa, whoever it is. And that is a story that's believable because these are my family that are telling me these things. Well, many times children grow out of those whimsical and fanciful ideas when they learn the truth and they grow up and hear that they were just fairy tales. But there are some that never grow out of that. That appeals to them. And they enter into that kind of thing and they end up making a living at it. And some people even really believe, in their own thinking at least, that that is going on. The movement of modern spiritualism had its beginning in Hydesville, New York in 1848. It began in the home of a man whose name was John Fox. It is stated that he had two daughters very early when this began. One of them was age 6, the other one was age 8. And they got together, these two little girls, the story goes, they were going to play a trick on their parents. And so they, on one occasion, kind of snuck behind a different room or whatever and began to make certain noises and would rap and tap here and there. And this was quite intriguing to the parents. They didn't understand it and couldn't figure this out. And so they would tell stories in the community, and people from the community would come and in order to witness these strange noises, these strange happenings. Apparently nobody figured it out, you know. I don't know. That's the story at least that was told. And so it began in that and began to bloom and blossom into a money-making thing and is quite prevalent today in so many areas. One of those little girls grew up. Her name was Margaret. And it is reported that when she did, she finally came clean one time and revealed what her and her sister had done and that they were the ones that had started this particular movement. Well, needless to say, none of that is true. None of that is so. I don't mean the story, but I mean the whole realm of spiritualism and communicating with the dead and hearing mysterious noises, and that there are some people whose spirit has not yet gone to the Hadean realm, and they're walking the earth and playing tricks on people and scaring people and doing all kinds of things. You remember Houdini? Houdini made a pact with his wife that when he died, he was a great escape artist, you remember. He could get out of anything, he claimed. And that when he died, he said, I'm going to communicate and I'm going to reveal myself. Well, we know that never happened. He never did it. His wife never claimed that he did. And, of course, even if she had, we'd know better from reading the Bible that that kind of thing certainly does not happen. So all of this whole realm of things that deal with the mysterious, even to the extent often a newspaper has a horoscope in it, and they're reading the stars, the alignment of the planets and the heavenly bodies, or the signs are this, or the signs are that. All of those things have to fit in and deal in the realm of spiritualism. Well, in Bible times, people who claim to involve themselves in such activities are called necromancers, or familiar spirits, wizards, or sorcerers. And it's condemned. It was condemned in the Old Testament era, and it's condemned in the New Testament era also. In the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 and 20, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to His word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, there's a principle stated there in that last phrase in verse 20. That is, whatever we hear today, or in any time, in any generation, whatever is taught, Whatever is set forth, that no matter what someone claims they saw with their own eyes, or they experienced, or they felt, or no matter what kind of evidence can be brought to bear or witness that someone may give that they did this or they saw that, we know that according to that passage, that if it is not in accordance with the Bible, the written, revealed Word of God, if it's not accordance to the Bible, if it's in contradiction to the Bible, if he gives something in addition to the Bible, more than the Bible, or takes something out of the Bible, then this passage here is telling us it's not so. It's not right. It's not real. So the Bible is our governing power. Nothing overrules the Bible. You know, we have a saying today that is something like a picture is worth a thousand words. Or something similar to it, seeing is believing. Well, there may be some credit to that in some areas, but when it comes to the realm wherein the Bible deals with the subject, then seeing is not believing. That is not the way it works, because the Bible reveals the will of God, and that is the way God communicates to us, and He tells us that we cannot communicate with the dead, and the dead cannot communicate with the living. Well, then somebody says, "No, wait a minute. What about that occasion in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 28 where we find that King Saul had an encounter at the Witch of Endor where Samuel was able to communicate from the dead?" Well, what about that? And so people say, right here's an occasion. Saul, King Saul of the Old Testament, the first king of Israel. He was the one who had been given, as a matter of fact, in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 28 says that Saul had gone through and taken out all the necromancers and sorcerers and wizards and witches in that day. Well, of course, he didn't take them all out. We find here's one here. Samuel was the prophet of God. Samuel was one who prophesied, would teach, instruct Saul, but Samuel had died. And Saul was quite worried. The Philistines were gathering together. And so Saul gathered his army together. But he didn't know what to do. And he said, "Is there not anyone of which I can inquire? I need to have word from Samuel." And so he was told there was a witch at Endor. And so he went to see her. And I guess, I don't know if she had a crystal ball or what, but she did her hocus pocus. And the scripture there says that Samuel appeared. And when he did so, she let out a great loud scream. Looks like to me as evidence she knew she was tricking people. She knew she couldn't do anything like that. And here was an actual, real occurrence that God did, not that she did. She had nothing to do with conjuring up Samuel out of the grave or any word like that. And none of these people have any power to do that. They did in the Old Testament, and they don't do it today. But for some reason, God allowed this occasion to take place, and that Samuel didn't go through this witch at Endor, but rather he spoke directly to Saul, and Samuel didn't tell him any good words at all. He said, "Saul, I tell you what, within 24 hours, tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be here in the spirit world with me." And that's exactly what happened. But that's not going to give us any credit to say, well, here God sanctions this or God allows this. Here this witch was able to do this great work. That's not the way it reads in that whole text, because it's not going to fit with what the Bible teaches on the subject then, because God commanded that those who dealt in that kind of thing, that was a capital offense. They were not just to be, you know, take their license away from them or make them take down their sign, but rather they were to be hunted down and executed. Well, was that such a serious crime? Well, God thought so. He thought so because it is a challenge to His divinity. It is a challenge to His righteousness and holiness that there's only one true God. And when people go off to inquire of familiar spirits and witches and sorcerers and things like that, that is a competition against God. It draws people's attention away from goodness, holiness, righteousness, instead of worshiping the true and the living God. Well, exactly what is wrong with witchcraft or spiritualism? It's wrong because of those very things I just mentioned. It is in competition to God. It does not bring about holiness, doesn't bring about virtue. It doesn't point the seeker to be closer to the Lord God of heaven, but instead to draw one away from heaven. The word occult is often used in this connection, and the word means beyond the bounds of ordinary knowledge, mysterious, outside the laws of the natural world. Things of the occult will always find excellent opportunities when people do not know the Bible. Whenever you find someone that knows the Scriptures and know what the Bible says, they're not going to find good ground in which to work. The word witchcraft. Witchcraft is defined as the practice or art of witches, black magic, sorcery, intercourse with evil spirits, also an instance of such practice, power more than natural, irresistible influence or charm. Webster defines the word witch as one who practices the black art or magic, one regarding as possessing supernatural or magical power by contact with an evil spirit, especially with the devil, a sorcerer or sorceries. So all of these things, and whatever word you want to call it, whatever means that they seek to do it, it was condemned in both the Old and the New Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 18, read the verses 9 through verse 14. Here's what God tells the children of Israel. When you come out of the Egyptian land, and you go through the wandering, you enter into the land of Canaan, here's what He says. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. He says, don't learn to do what they have been doing. Well, what is that? There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Here's an allusion to a burnt offering. The heathen nations would sometimes seek to appease the God that they would serve, their idolatrous God, by offering their own children as a burnt sacrifice. They had a god of Moloch, in which had big arms, or they'd build a fire, and they'd place their children upon that statue's arms and burn them alive because they thought they could serve their false god. And God tells Israel, don't cause your children to pass through the fire. Then He says, or that anyone would use divination or be an observer of time. Well, let's mention divination. Divination would be those areas wherein they might either look at cards or tea leaves, would be the modern equivalent of it, or cast down sticks. I remember hearing, I guess when I was a child, if you peeled an apple, I think it was an apple, you peeled an apple and one long all the way and had big long, and you take the apple, throw it over your shoulder, turn around and look at it, and of course it would make a letter of the alphabet, and then that was going to be the person you're going to marry someday. You ever heard that? All kinds of silliness, foolishness, superstition, those things. Now, on a way we think, well, this is fun and this is comical and so on, but here I want to give a word of caution today. All of these things that we need to have some caution about, we need to have some thought about, because they are contrary to righteousness in God. He says, do not use that. Do not seek out any means of divination, that is, seeking to learn what the future might hold or through any means or whatever, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For He says in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. One of the reasons that God led the children of Israel into Palestine, into the land of Canaan, was because of the atrocities, the wickedness, the immorality, the sorcery, the occultism or spiritualism. He said, that's one reason I'm throwing them out. I'm going to throw them out of the land. And it's because that they are dealing in these kind of matters. Then he says in verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Well, I know that's Old Testament, and yet Romans 15:4 says the things written aforetime are written for our learning. So there are some principles that are involved there. Was this reprimanded? Is there anything about this in the New Testament? Well, there is. So it's not a law because of the Old Testament, because Christians live under the New. But yet it was wrong then, and it's wrong today. We'll get to that in just a moment. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18, here the Scripture said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That was a capital offense. Those who involved themselves in that were to be put to death. It's interesting also that homosexuality and that sin was a capital offense in the Old Testament days. Those who were caught involving themselves in that were to be put to death. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment or observe times. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. Leviticus 20 and verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. In the New Testament, we find in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21 a list of sins that are identified as works of the flesh. And among those is the word witchcraft. A work of the flesh in the New Testament era in which now we live is witchcraft and everything that is connected and familiar with that. And here is a word that also has to do with drugs, illegal drugs or even prescription drugs now that are used outside of the prescription or just used because of the feeling or the high or the down or whatever it is that it gives them. Drugs, just drugs imperial, in principle, is condemned in the word witchcraft. The word witchcraft here is a word which has to do with a witch's potion. You remember the old story about a witch would have a big cauldron and she's stirring a potion. And this potion would be, you know, whatever the elements of it would be, but to cast a spell upon someone. Well, that's the word for drugs. Isn't that what drugs do today? It casts a spell upon someone. It's the chemical makeup causes, unnormal, unnatural behavior within an individual. And so drugs are not only illegal, they're condemned in the Scriptures for anyone who would involve themselves in them. Sorcerers and all like them have never been connected with the righteous. There are many events in a holiday that is coming up 3 weeks from today. The end of this year on our calendar is a holiday called Halloween. There are many elements that are linked and tied in with this very thing. Have you ever wondered about Halloween, where it came from? You know, it's not just something we grew up with, just something on the calendar. Way, way back centuries ago, in the religion of Catholicism, there were those who would die, as they all did, but certain ones they wanted to venerate or lift up, promote in some way, that they would designate as a saint. There were others who would be killed, who would become martyrs, and so they began to hold observances, memorials, in regards to some of these martyrs or those whom they designated saints. And some of those are still observed today and on our calendar, like in February, St. Valentine's Day, or then St. Patrick's Day. Another one quite familiar to a lot of people is St. Nicholas. But anyway, back in those days, they began to figure out right quick, well, we can't designate a day on the calendar for every saint that dies, for everyone that's martyred. And so they concluded, well, we'll designate a day on the calendar and call it All Saints Day. Well, that's something that's not heard of a whole lot. But anyway, that's November the 1st, on that calendar at least. November the 1st is All Saints Day, a day in which they will remember and commemorate all the saints. Well, guess what? When you have a day like that, the day following, or in this case the night, not following, but preceding, the night preceding is the eve of All Saints Day. Because this is All Saints, and saints are supposed to be hallowed or holy, so this became known as an All Hallowed Evening. And then you can see how it was kind of shortened and thrown together as Hallowed Eve, and we just shortened to say Halloween. Well, since Saints Day is supposed to be a commemoration of saints, that is, you're supposed to be pious and good and holy and righteous, it's kind of like Mardi Gras, you know, before they come up with their observance there of fasting and such, you kind of got to live it up and get the evil out of you. And so I guess on the evening before All Hallowed Day, you're going to let it all go wild and have the opposite of that. And there's where you deal with the devil and the occult and the spiritualism, mysterious ghosts, witches, goblins, anything that is crooked and opposite of what the Bible teaches about that. So you get a privilege to do that on the day before or the night before, because the next day you can't, see, because that is an All Saints Day. But anyway, that's kind of the origin of where that come from. The Celtics in Western Europe and commemorated this and practiced that, and out of those came customs of lighting bonfires, and at such bonfires, the telling of mysterious sights and sounds, Halloween ghost stories. The modern jack-o'-lantern is kind of interesting. It came from an idea, supposedly, of an old man named Jack, who was barred from heaven because he was so stingy, he wouldn't give as he should, and yet the devil wouldn't let him in hell either. He was supposed to be so mean that he played tricks on the devil. And so the devil didn't want tricks played on him, and so he wouldn't let him in hell. God wouldn't let him in heaven, and so he was forced to walk the earth the remainder of its days, and he would have a lantern to carry. And that's why you got Jack-o'-lantern, I guess, or whatever. And so he'd put a candle in that lantern, and it would be a carved-out gourd or carved-out pumpkin or something, and so that's kind of the origin of where that kind of thing comes from. But he was supposed to be one that would, play tricks on the devil. Another old tradition that came into our modern usage is a tradition called souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, souling. And this was an idea of begging for cakes in remembrance of the dead that had to do with this All Saints Day. And, of course, you can see how that's similar then to a modern usage of it as trick or treat. And as different ones would go around and beg for treats or whatever, and if you don't treat me, then I'll trick you or do something even worse than that. And the whole realm of Halloween and such is geared around the idea of death and witches and goblins and ghosts and the devil and warlocks and sorcery and things that are certainly like that in contrast to the Bible. Let me show you some Bible verses here. The Bible tells us that as a Christian, we are children of light. We're not children of the night or of darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children of light, and we need to walk as children of light." In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, we read that we're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In John chapter 5, we read verse 35 and 36, when Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from among them. In Acts the 26th chapter, we read in verses 16 to 18, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Now here's the occasion of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And God speaks unto him here, the Lord speaks unto him, "I have made thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee to the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified." You remember in Acts chapter 8, there was a man who was named Simon, was a sorcerer. He made his living bewitching people, tricking and posing himself to be some great one. And the Bible says that when he heard the gospel, the truth, he obeyed the gospel. And we referred to him as Simon the sorcerer. But he wasn't any longer. His name was Simon, but he was no longer a sorcerer, because that dealt with the occult. That dealt in the magical arts and in the reading the stars and for whatever else they might fit into that, because that's contrary to God. We have the God-given responsibility to think upon things that are good and true and holy. Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things." Believing the dead can communicate with the living is not thinking on things that are good and proper and right. All of these things, I believe, are things worthy of our notice, things worthy of considering, things we need to think about. And when we have costumes or whatever, I would caution that those costumes not be depicting death or witches or Satan or goblins and ghosts and things dealing with the occult. That would be my recommendation on it, because for me, I don't want to even play with that kind of thing. I don't even want to get close to that area wherein we're dealing with spiritualism, the occult, darkness, the devil, and that which is contrary to spiritual and holy things. Because we are children of light. We've been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light of His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you in that light this morning? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not in the light. You're still in darkness, the darkness of sin. You can come out of that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By repenting of your sins, confessing faith in Christ, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and become a child of light. And having repented of all the past sins, you can be forgiven of those. Or if you come back to the fold, if you've strayed away this morning, won't you do that as we stand and sing?